From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, let us rise on that eagle's wings. Even as your word comes forth, let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who is here tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. And you may please be seated. Thank you, Lord. Are you excited to be here tonight? Right, we're looking at the what? What are we looking at? You remember? It's a test. I've been preaching on Wednesdays. I think I started not long ago. I'm preaching about what? Stages. Did I say 20? Stages in the development of a shepherd. I didn't say 20. I said stages in the development of a shepherd. You may not last 20. So stages in the development of a shepherd or a shepherd. Stages in the development of a shepherd. I said stages in the development of a shepherd, isn't it? Now, we're looking at this subject because one of the greatest things, or one of the greatest needs we have as Christians and as people of God, is to have a shepherd. That's the angle where we are coming from. If you're a Christian, you see, unlike what many people will probably try to bring across and try to make it sound, to really, really, really be successful in your Christian life, you must have a shepherd. It is the lack of somebody who can say, come, and you come. Go, and you go. Sit down, and you sit down. Come here, and you come here. It is the lack of somebody like that in your life. That's why our lives are not going well. And that is why the devil is also very cunning in trying to discredit such people who are leading us and who are taking us somewhere. Let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, God made us in such a way that we are sheep and we are dependent on a shepherd. I said, God has created, if you don't know, I'm telling you tonight, that if you don't know, what you have to understand is that God made us as sheep. The Bible says that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. It's the Bible that calls you and I sheep. I cannot call you sheep. I don't know. I didn't give birth to you. I don't know your mother. I don't know your father. How can I call you sheep? It's the Bible that is saying that you and me are sheep of His pasture. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, all are we like sheep have gone astray. So we have to understand that the Bible likens us and presents us in God's presence as sheep. Now, if you are sheep and if I am sheep, then who is your shepherd and where is your shepherd? You see, many people go around, we are Christians and this and that and that and that and that, but many people don't have shepherds. Now, if you look at me here tonight, I am who I am and I've come this far, not only because I believe in God, I serve God, but because God gave me a shepherd and I have submitted to the shepherd. Those of you who are rebellious and arrogant and stiff-necked and stubborn, your life is some way. You look at your life and see how your life is like. Yeah. Anybody in the church who thinks that, you know what, nobody can tell me what to do. The pastor, that he can't mind my business. Why is the man minding my business? It's my life. I want to live it anyway. You see that I can predict and I can prophesy. I don't even need to prophesy. I can close my eyes. I don't even have to close my eyes. I can open my eyes and tell you your future. And if you look at yourself, you realize that you are where you are because you either have a shepherd or you don't have a shepherd. Cry. I tell you. Yeah. I was talking to one of my people today, and I was asking about her father. So my father, he's Brooks in America. I said, he's Brooks? Wow. Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, how can you live in America all these years and be broke? Is it because you can live in America? I told you when I came back from the camp in Orlando, Florida, that Bishop raised funds for the Healing Jesus Crusade, Healing Jesus campaign. And he had more than one person giving $100,000. This is somebody who lives in America, like this lady's pastor, father lives in America. How come he is able to give $100,000 and his money has not finished? And your father lives in America all these years and he's broke. He can't even send you $50. Is it even $10? Is it the difference, if you don't know, it's not because this person who gives $100,000 is even doing a better job or anything. Because this father I'm talking about is also a professional. The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is that this one who can give $100,000 has a shepherd. If you like, you mark it somewhere and see. You die trying. You die trying to get rich, and you will never get rich. No, David said it. King David said it in Psalm 23 and verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That is why I shall not want. It's not because I have a good job. It's not because I have degrees. It's not because I am handsome. It's not because I am working all over. It's not because my contract is whatever. He says, it's because I have a shepherd. That is why I shall not have any want. Please read that scripture well. If you speak English, please read it well. It is because I have a shepherd, that is why I shall not want. Not because I have a business. Not because I'm intelligent. Not because I'm beautiful. It's because I have a shepherd. Do you have a shepherd? That is why I am teaching about the stages in the development of a shepherd. So that you and I can really rise up and become shepherds of God's people. So that God's people will prosper. It's true. Today I sent somebody to go with one of our church members from Wales to the hospital for some medical checkup and all of that. Some 19-year-old girl with some problem that you can't even find out where it came from. And so I asked, she has a child. So I asked the person who I asked to run this errand for me. I said, so where are her parents? I said, so that child father who parked his horse cart a few years ago, where is he? Where are the people who say they love you when you need them? And she has to do some MRI or whatever, a VWI or something they're calling it. And it's so much money. No, she doesn't have that money. Child father ain't got that money for she. No parent got no money for she. It's a church that we have. I have delegated somebody to take this person to the hospital and find out what's going on and see what God can do. You think you don't need a shepherd? So, God wants us to desire, because you see, if we don't become shepherds, if we don't develop and become shepherds, we cannot pass it. God's people cannot do well. I said, if we don't develop and become shepherds, God's people cannot do well. Because the doing well of God's people is linked to a shepherd. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, what does it say? I think we all know it. He says, and I'll give you what? Pastors. Pastor is an English word. A pastor means also a shepherd. Poimen. Poimen means a pastor. Poimen also means shepherd. I will give you pastors according to my heart. It's only God who gives pastors. Yeah, nobody gives pastors but God. The nation doesn't give pastors. There's no school that gives pastors. There's no political party that gives pastors. Nobody. There's no factory. Banks DIH does not give pastors. Pastors are given by God. And God says that. Are you talking about knowledge? Are you talking about understanding? You know where to get knowledge from? Knowledge is not knowledge unless it is coming from God. I said knowledge is not knowledge unless it's coming from God. He said the pastor will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So knowledge and understanding comes from pastors, comes from shepherds. And therefore in this church, I want us to rise up. As many of us that can rise up and become shepherds. You see, you can be a shepherd in different categories. It's like wedding. It's like marriage. You see, most people think that marriage is a lot of money. But it depends on how you look at it. Some people go to the post office, they don't even have a witness. When they see you pass, they ask you, they say, please, can you sign for me? They get married. It is how you look at marriage. You want to get some nice fancy dress, like is it Meghan Markle's dress from here to Toronto, Ontario? Long. That's what you're looking for. Because you've come from a very poor background. One day you want to show the world that you are somebody. A few hours. You want to spend all your money to create a situation that is unreasonable. That is why your wedding has delayed. You see, so you can blow up or you can minimize it. Weddings vary from large, extra large, extra, extra large to medium, small, and extra small, and even kid size. It depends on what size you want. All you need is a ring. And then you and she. If you are married, what who is married is married. If you were there or not, it doesn't matter. I'm married. If you got food to eat or not, it doesn't matter. I'm married. I say that at weddings and all of that, we should not focus so much on food. Because everybody has food at home. You think the food you are going to give to us, that's the food that when we eat, we'll never hunger anymore? We shall not what? Is that it, Shona? Is that what you are going to give when you give me that food? It's not here. You give me that food, I won't hunger anymore. So why all the trouble? Serve some guinea pig or something and be free. Some owara or something. Oh, refreshment is owara. Then you see how many people will stay for the refreshments or not. And then when everybody leaves, then you bring the nice food and things. I say, oh, Chia, I tested you. You see, everybody's gone. Yeah. Put it on your invitation card. Refreshment is owara special. Yeah. Let's see how many people will stay. Hallelujah. So, as for shepherding, it's like marriage. It comes in sizes. So, you can be a businessman and be a shepherd. You can be a doctor and still be a shepherd. You can be a market woman and still be a shepherd. You can be a student and still be a shepherd. You can be a pilot. You can still be a shepherd. You can be whoever you want to be in this life and still be able to shepherd people. There's nothing like, oh, me, I am this, so I don't have time for this. No, you are not looking at it carefully. You are not looking at it well. In whatever capacity you kind of live in this world, you can also be a shepherd. Tell your neighbor, you can also be a shepherd. Right, so we are looking at one of the greatest shepherds in the Bible, and that's King David, isn't it? King David was the greatest because he started from nothing. He didn't know no needle. He didn't know anything. He was just a shepherd boy. Even when the prophet came to his house to have a nice service, he wasn't invited. He was nothing. But from that point of being nothing, he became the king of Judah, and then he became the king of Israel with all the 12 tribes come together. He became the king of Judah. That was just one tribe out of the 12. And then he became the king of Jerusalem, or the king of Israel, which is all the 12 brothers come together. How did he do it? That's how we want to look at. That's what we want to look at. Are you ready? For some few minutes, number one is that you should accept the sovereignty of God as revealed by your what? Your selection from among other brothers and sisters. You must accept the sovereignty of God as revealed by your selection from among other brothers and sisters. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. You should see that it's not everybody in your family who is here. Those of you who have brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties and grand, it's such a great blessing. And many people who God calls them without any relative. It starts like that. If you have a relative in the church, it's a great blessing. Yeah. Because when God selected David, he chose only him, a little boy. So you must accept that I find it very funny. It happened to me, and I know it has happened to you, and it's happening to you too. When I got saved, I didn't want to leave my girlfriend. Does it sound familiar? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 70. He is a new... What has passed away? Including your boyfriend. Including your girlfriend. Yes. So when you become if you are born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 70, you have there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? An old creature? He is a new creature. Old things. What are the old things? Old things. Where you used to lime. Where you used to go. The people you used to lime with. Your boyfriend, girlfriend. All those things have passed away. But you see, our Christian life becomes so complicated when your child father is still parking his vehicle inside your garage. Yeah, your child father, Mr. T, is parking his vehicle in your garage. Are you following? It happened to me. When I got saved, it was difficult to leave my girlfriend. So I said, you know what? Let me go to church. Then you force them. Let's go. You force them. Let's go. And they said, oh, man, I don't want to go to church. I said, man, let me go to church. You is a devil or what? Let me go to church. Hey, let me tell you. God did not save you and your boyfriend. God did not save you and your girlfriend. Are you listening to me? Is somebody listening to me tonight? God did not choose you and your girlfriend together. In fact, God actually takes you away from your girlfriend. I tell you. And you see us. We come to church with our girlfriends. We come to church with our boyfriends. And during the altar call, you say, go, go. Go and give your life to Christ. Go and give your life to Christ. You force them, you push them. And they come and they give their life to Christ. So when a pastor is asking you, so who is that? So, my fiancé. Hey. Wow. Is he saved? Say, yeah. Oh, last Sunday he came forward to give his life to Christ. Your face and your eyes and your nose. What are you forcing to change people? Yeah. It's so difficult to leave your boyfriend and girlfriend. So you say, you know what? Let's go and be changed together. I mean, you believe that, you know, God is not just changing you only. He says salvation is for you and your household. Yeah. No. The Bible says that God anointed David, the only person among his brothers. Did they anoint him and somebody else? So tell your boyfriend to leave you alone and go somewhere. Tell your girlfriend, hello. You see, if you do that, you can't serve God well. Why do I say that? Because the boyfriend or the girlfriend is going to be a distraction. I say it again. Okay. I say, if you do that, your boyfriend or your girlfriend is going to be a distraction. Because you are trying to include somebody in an agreement that the person's name is not inside. When Abraham was called, he was asked to leave his family, his home, his people, and go to the place that God will show him. Bible says when Abraham was leaving, his nephew Lot, his brother's son, the brother had died and left a boy in the house. So he felt so sorry for the boy. So he took the boy with him. Abraham's problems all came because of Lot. The Bible says that when Abraham left his country, that was it. God didn't say anything to him again. He didn't say anything to him again. So he went on. He was doing this. He was doing that. He was doing that. And the Bible says that it came to a point Lot began to be rich. He had a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle and all of that. And his servants were fighting with his uncle, Abraham's servants. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe somebody needs to hear this tonight. Then the Bible says that Abraham came and said, you know what? Let us not fight. Take the east and I'll take the west. Take the north and I'll take the south. Let us part company. You are now a big man, so just be on your own. The Bible says the moment they separated or they parted company, and the Lord spoke to Abraham after that. So you and your boyfriend, I beg you. You and your girlfriend, I beg you. I mean, you must be very deceived to think that God approves of your boyfriend or your girlfriend. If any man be in Christ. I know some of you will not listen, but I have to still say it. So that you will not tell me that I never told you that you can't be saved with your boyfriend. I did it. It was difficult for me to leave my girlfriend. 1989. When I got saved, my flesh was still the same. My mind was still the same. I was a newborn baby and I had not grown. So when I see a girlfriend like that, I said, what? I got left. She like that? No! Let me go to church. And change she. So we go marry. By force. How often have you not invited your child father and he has never come here? When he comes, he's in a hurry to go back. And then you are worried. You are wondering, what wrong with thee? What wrong with thee? He like some devil living she or something. There's no devil in him. There's no demon. You are trying to include somebody in something that God has not said so. Accept the sovereignty of God. Accept it that he's somebody, he's God is, he's sovereign. He rules. When he rules, nobody says anything. And what he has decided is that he takes you from your family. He calls you. He chooses you, not you and somebody. Not you and somebody. In my family, I was the only one who joined Lighthouse up until my kid brother came to live with me in Europe. And because I was feeding him and he was living in my house, he had no option but to go to the church with me. And over time, he has grown and he has also made his own choice by staying in the church. But and when it came to missions, I left him. I'm here. He's still over there. I was chatting with him earlier and I was asking him some questions. He said, Bishop, this place is crazy. I said, but boy, you're still living there. You don't want to leave the place. When I came on missions, I didn't come with my brother, my sister. No. In fact, nobody from my family has ever stepped foot here in Guyana to see whether I eat grass or I eat food. Yeah. I have seven of them. Yeah. One lives right here in New York. 5.5 hours by Caribbean Airlines, you'll be here. 13 years now. He has not even stepped foot in. He doesn't even know the name of the airport. Yeah. We were not called together. That is the sovereignty. That is the basmanness. The basmanness. It's called basmanism of God. That this is what he chooses to do. He is God. And what he decided is to rather talk to Anita McLean, not the child, the children's father. You is the one he's looking for. You are the one he has called. Child father, he better try there. You have to accept that sovereignty of God. Don't try and include people. Don't try and include people who God has not included in your plans. Because of a little joke or something, you're joking. You know, you like joking too much. T. Are you with me? So accept that sovereignty. For many of you, you want to force people. You want to get people. You see, because you realize that the thing is a good thing. It's a very profitable thing to give your life. But it doesn't mean that that person is supposed to. It's not automatic. In fact, the Bible says that if you believe God and then your partner doesn't believe God and he doesn't want to live with you, he can go away. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Which means that there are some partners, there are some spouses who never believe what you believe. So don't force a man who is smoking and drinking and enjoying himself to come to church. He's not interested in your church. Look at how you are sitting here. He's somewhere else. And you are worried. You better serve God and be happy. You are worried that he's not here. Of course, salvation is also for you and your household. But this other one is also valid. Yeah. Accept the sovereignty of God. Are you there? That you are choosing among your brothers. Number two is what? Develop a skill in the church. Isn't it? Like singing and playing instruments. Isn't it nice what Akeem does? Huh? My new church member, Akeem, isn't it? Please. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Where is he? I can't see him. Yeah, he's at the back. Yeah. Nice. We should have an orchestra. Yeah. The violin, we can have more than one. Not just work. Have more than work. Have more than one keyboardist. More than one guitarist. We can all play the same time. If we only find the right key and what we can play the thing and harmonize. I tell you. I believe God has something. You see, God has been telling us some wonderful things. That's why people like these guys are coming around. Yeah. Pum, 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 pum. Nice music. You have to learn something. So as he's around, you see, and I've said it last week. I said, we Guyanese, we don't want to learn nothing. They have formed a special music school. I don't see what happened to them. People go and then they put it aside. People go and then they give up. People go, and when you ask them, so what happens? Man, I stopped following it. People go like that. But there are some who are taking it very serious. Learn a skill or develop a skill in the church. Amen. Number three, like David, become a spiritually mighty man by developing in prayer and the word. Like David, become a spiritually mighty man by developing in prayer and the word. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war. A mighty, valiant man and a man of war. Now, in those days, the fight was physical. The fight was carnal. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. In those days, in the Old Testament, the weapons of the warfare of the believers of God in those days, it was carnal. David didn't pray and bound no devil. David fought Goliath and killed him. When Joshua, the Israelites, they were going to Canaan, they went to Jericho. They didn't stand there and pray and say, the demons of Jericho, disappear now. There were no devil casting in those days. Enemies were physical. Enemies were beings. You just kill them and your enemy is gone. It's not like now that when you cast your enemy, another enemy comes. One demon goes, another demon comes. Even though we have the power, it's even more tougher than in those days. In those days, once you kill all the your neighbors, you have peace. If your neighbors are your enemies. Are you with me? So, David in those days, in a type of warfare, in a type of area that actually made him a believer and a man who believes, a man who stands for God, he was a valiant, a mighty valiant man and a man of war. In our time, it is more prayer and the word of God. In our time, if you are going to be strong in the Lord, if you are going to be strong and be strong in the mind, Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. If you are ever going to be a strong Christian, it's going to depend on your prayer life and how you have command over the word of God. And that actually is one of the stages of your development into a ra'ah, or a poimen, or a shepherd. You cannot become a shepherd like how David became so successful. David had to be valiant and a man of war before he actually became the king of Judah and the king of Israel. And if you do not become strong in the word and strong in prayer, you cannot be over any 5 or 10 people. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are church workers, who are area fellowship leaders, chapel pastors and all of that, the number of people you are going to be able to have authority over will not increase if you don't pray and you don't read the word of God. It's not by mouth. I remember I had one home cell leader who Sunday morning will organize people to come to church. And she will go into the area where she would normally preach, and then she will tell the people, if you don't come to church, you will see, I'm going to deal with you. It's not about dealing with people. So this gentleman who used to come to church, she used to be frightened, she used to be afraid of this lady. And she sees the lady, you know, she goes to bath and put on his clothes, he's coming to church. The lady says, I'm going to deal, if you don't come, I'm going to deal with you. It's not about dealing with people. People are not your children. It's not your child. It is about what we call valiant and a man or woman of war. It is spiritual. Your authority to command people, it's spiritual. To have 10 people gather, you must have the spiritual authority. It doesn't come just like that. When I say every area fellowship should have 20 people in a fellowship, look how some people struggle. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Some people 12. You can't get the 20 if you are not valiant. And valiancy comes from prayer and the word. Genesis to Revelation. You should have your quiet time. You should have your quiet time. You should read your Bible. Your effectiveness in this job, in this business, will come from your command of the word of God and then your ability to pray, and even to pray for long hours. We will not be here if we don't pray. We will not be here if we don't learn the word of God. That's how you develop. I said, that's how you develop. Sometimes you even see soloists and all of that. When they come, they don't even say anything. They are empty. Yeah. People who come on stage and sing and all of that, you see, they don't quote scriptures. So. Oh, they come and say, okay, I want to sing a song to the glory of God. No scripture. But as I'm preaching, am I not quoting scriptures? So why is it that you, whatever you are doing, you can't quote scriptures? Even if you are sweeping, you should quote scriptures. You don't develop to become anything if you are not prayerful and if you are not versed in scripture. It doesn't happen. You cannot, I mean, the course that you are taking, the course that you have actually signed for, if you want to graduate and become somebody who is strong in the course, you got to learn, you got to read, you got to memorize, you got to remember what you read. You have to apply. When the test comes, you should be able to bring forth that which you have studied. Excuse me. If you don't read, if you don't pray, you are not developing into nothing. I say into nothing. You must develop as a shepherd by praying and by reading the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, January to December, you should finish Genesis to Revelation. Some people in a year read the Bible about 3 times, complete, from back to back. I say some people read the Bible from January to December, back to back, 3 times. Is their goal. But my New Year resolution is that I'm going to read the Bible 3 times for the whole year. Yeah. Cover to cover. Back to back. Genesis to Revelation. How many have you read? It's 6 months already. How many scriptures have you read? I'm talking to you. How many verses have you read? How can you develop into something? How can you develop into something? Do you pray? Or you as Guyanese, you say, I say me prayers. You can't be a man of war if you say your prayers, you know. Prayer is work. Prayer is hours. Speaking in tongues for hours. Everybody must speak in tongues in this church. I say everybody must speak in tongues in this church. If you don't speak in tongues, you should talk to your area fellowship leader or your chapel pastor. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. How can you be in a church you don't speak in tongues? You cannot be a man of war. You cannot be valiant if you don't pray for a long time. In any trade, in anything on this earth, if you're going to be experiencing it, you have to be practicing for a long time. Are you a cricketer? You have to be training. You're a footballer? You have to be training. Bodybuilder? Every day, go and lift up the irons, kilos, lift it up, lift it up. You cannot become strong in anything you're doing if you are not constantly engaged in the inner things and the things that make you strong. It does not happen anywhere. It doesn't happen anywhere. You must pray. Wake up in the morning and pray. In the night, pray. Fast and pray. Read the Bible. In the morning, read the Bible in the afternoon. Some of you, when you sit in the bus going to work, you don't have any business in the bus, but to just open somewhere and read on your way to work. On your way from Cemetery Road to Stabroek, what do you do in the bus? Looking outside like you've never been to Guyana before? What are you looking for? Have you not traveled this world for how many years? So what are you looking at? Looking at the tombs, the cemetery? Reading a sunrise, sunset, moonlight, moonset? Is that what you're reading? And then you go down, what are you looking at? Trenches, people's houses, mining people business? Is that what you're doing? You could open your Bible from Cemetery Road to Stabroek. You can at least read the verse. How many agree that this what I'm saying is a good idea? Yeah. Shut off. Shut off. Whatever music they are playing, whatever is going on in the bus, shut off and read a scripture. One scripture from Cemetery Road to Stabroek. You can read one scripture. Or from Mandela East Lapentance place there to Stabroek. It's even longer. It's even longer. You can read more than one scripture. It is because we don't see what reading the scripture, having command over the scripture and praying, we don't even understand what it makes us into. Man, we don't know what it makes us into. If you're going to develop to become a shepherd, you need to have command over the word of God. I say you need to have command over the word of God. I know some of you have not read your Bible today. Some of you don't even have Bibles. In the era and the age where Bibles are free, you can download them on your phone. You don't even have a Bible. So where are you going in this business? Where are you going in this life? Where are you going in this Christian life? You don't have a Bible? You don't pray? You are saying your prayers like you are 3 years old? Our Father which art in heaven? Who said our Father is not in heaven? Who said our Father is not in heaven? Well, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Is that a prayer you pray Sunday morning? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Is that a prayer? Are you singing songs and you are reading songs? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? And then you say, you do a cross. Then you get up from your bed. You've prayed. You have prayed? Satan, that's why Satan slaps you all the time. He does not fear you. You are not valiant. You are not a man, a woman of war. You don't have strength. And he's looking for somebody. I remember when we were in school. Then somebody's head got big. Yeah. And then we didn't understand what was going on. We took the person to the hospital. The person came back. People were speculating what was happening, what has happened. Then one day somebody said, the witches in the area came to take the guy's head to go and play football. If they use your head to play football, 45 minutes, 1.5 hours. Charlie, in the morning, your head will become big. Yeah. Because, I mean, for 1.5 hours, people are dribbling with your head like that. Pa, 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 your head, oh. That's what they said. They said in the night, the witches came and took the guy's head. They went on a school play field, football field, and they played, the witches played football with the person's head. Yeah. I tell you. So for 1.5 hours as you were sleeping, people were kicking your ball. They were shooting, the goalkeeper was catching your head and all of that. The guy woke up in the morning, his head was like that. His head hitting the post and all of that. Don't let the devil come and take your head and go and play football. Yeah. Make sure he can't come close to you. Make sure he can't come close to your house. Make sure no demon or no devil can come close to your money or come close to your business or come close to anything that belongs to you. But you have to be a man, you have to be a valiant man, and you have to be a man of war. That's what you got to become. Number 10. Become a servant of the existing minister. Become a servant of the existing minister. Just as David became the armor bearer of Saul. I'm closing. Yeah. If your bedtime is 9 o'clock, I'm closing. Curfew. Some people have curfew. More dark. More dark. Curfew. Is that how you say it, Michelle? Curfew? Curfew? Okay. More dark. Candle in the dark. Ish. I can see you shining like something. You're the only one who shines in the darkness, I tell you. So that men will see your works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Become a servant of the existing minister, just as David became the armor bearer of Saul. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21. You see, so if you are going to develop, we are thinking about stages of what? What are we talking about? Stages in the development of a shepherd. So if you're going to become a shepherd, you will have to have, you have to be a servant to the minister in town. Yeah. Not boss. Not VIP. Not a diplomat. Not a supervisor. Not a member of parliament. A servant. Yeah. So those of you who want to develop into great shepherds, want to develop in good shepherds, the key is to become a servant to the existing minister. When David was anointed, he didn't say that, you know what, he has arrived and that he doesn't need anybody. The Bible said, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he, Saul, loved him, David, greatly, and he became the one who bears his armor. Some people call them armor bearers in the church. If a pastor moves to somebody, they call them, oh, is that your armor bearer? I don't know which armor they are bearing. There's no sword that you are bearing. I mean, Saul had a sword and a shield. Goliath had somebody who was holding his shield for him and his sword. In those days, they had, do you bear armors? These days, I don't know what, your suit carrier, bar carrier, or Bible carrier? I don't know which one. iPad carrier? You have to serve. You're going to learn how to become a good shepherd. You have to serve an existing shepherd. That is why when people are coming from Ghana, I say, come and be here. Come and be with me. Come, right here. You can tell me you came to change Guyana. I said, change Guyana right here in Isla Penitence for us to see. Then we'll believe you're changing power. Because you have to serve an existing minister. You're going to develop to become a better one, or a greater one, a stronger one, to become just like someone. You got to find the existing minister and serve.
Maybe as you are listening to me right now, you know deep down in your heart that you are not born again. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? It takes faith. It takes believing in Jesus to go to heaven. You want to pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I am saved from hell. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You are born again.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.